What a pleasure it is to be here at Living Manna Foursquare Church, to be in the same family. I also pastor a Foursquare Church, and I'm also the superintendent for this Western Pennsylvania Northeast Ohio District. So I'm not your pastor's boss. I'm here to serve him. I'm here to help him. I'm here to remove any barriers that he has, because that's how it is in the kingdom of God, right? The greatest amongst you are called to be a servant. So that's where we're at. And I'll tell you what, you guys, let me just take a couple minutes. And I know they're not here. They probably wouldn't let me say it if they were. But, you know, I travel all around. I talk to a lot of different pastors. I visit a lot of different churches. And I just want you guys to know that what you have here is special. Not everybody preaches like Sam. Not everybody has the wisdom and the anointing that him and his wife, you know, really bring to the table. And you will get out of it the way that you see them, right? You will get out of it. Sam was used many years ago. I've told the story here, but it's worthy to tell again. I mean, when he was just an evangelist, when he was traveling before he even had the church, even at the other location, he was traveling around. And at that point, I knew I had a call to ministry in my life, but I was very apprehensive. I, you know, had a really, really checkered past, really messed up things. But I felt God calling me, but I always felt uncomfortable standing in front of people, everything. Basically, I wanted to back down from any kind of ministry. I was just getting asked to do more and more stuff, asked to step up more and more. And I wanted to back away from all that. And Sam was used to give me a word from God that said, you know what, listen, you're holding back from what God has for you. And what you need to do is you need to just move forward. You know, God has qualified you. He'll give you the gifts and talents. Quit looking back. Start moving forward. Now, I could have took that word and I could have said, you know what? That guy's just a kook. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know my situation. But because I honored him as a prophet and received that word, I basically went back to my room and I said, Lord, I am so sorry. And any door that you open up for me, I'll walk through it. And God's been opening door after door after door ever since then. And I've been walking through them, because if you receive a prophet, you'll get a prophet's reward. And no matter how good he preaches, no matter how insightful, no matter how much he studies during the week, if you don't take the word that's given and mix it with faith, you're not going to see much. So I just want to encourage you that if you honor your pastors, if you listen to the teaching, they've been given as a gift from God for you guys, for this place, for this time in your life. And if you guys will honor that gift, you will be blessed. You'll be blessed. So anyway, we're here. We got Foursquare people, right? So I believe that this is a church that still believes in the power of God. Amen. Right? So we still, you know, say amen if you know Jesus as your Savior. Amen. Say amen if you know Jesus as your baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Say amen if you know Jesus as your healer. Amen. And say amen if you know Jesus as your soon coming King.
Amen.
So I'm going to open up with my message this morning, Jeremiah 29:11. Maybe you guys are familiar with this verse. First Bible I was ever given. This was written inside of the cover, so it has special significance for me, and hopefully it'll have special significance for you. The Word of God says, "For I know the plans." Somebody say plans.
Plans.
"For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you." Somebody say prosper. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope." Somebody say hope. "And a future." Somebody say future. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Would you just bow your heads and pray with me for today's message? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the wonderful, the matchless, the glorious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord. For we know that this day is the day that the Lord has made, Lord. And I know that you sent people to be here, that you knew that this was going to happen, Lord. That you had sent people here that they might receive a word, Lord. And we are believing and we are declaring, Lord, that through this word, Lord, that strongholds would be broken, generational curses curses would be broken, Lord, that attacks of the enemies will be thwarted, Lord, and that through this word, there would be a change, an instant change for many people in here, Lord. So I ask that my spirit would decrease, that your Holy Spirit would increase, Lord, that you would anoint me to preach your word, for it is the anointing that breaks every yoke. I just ask right now that that the people of God would be edified and that the name of Jesus would be glorified. And we say it in Jesus' name. And everybody here at Living Manna says, amen. Amen. So God has a plan for you, right? That's, and in the New Testament, we can look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that talks about we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared. Man, you're good. Amen. I got it. You looking for a job by any chance? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God has a calling for your life. It's not, many people come to the Lord and they're so happy to be saved from their old life. They're not doing the things that they once did. They're not hanging in the places they once were, but they don't fully grasp upon the fact that there's a new life that God has for you to walk in, right? You know, when God called the Hebrews from Egypt, he didn't call them to stay in the wilderness. He called them to go to the promised land. So don't be so happy that you got pulled out of Egypt that you stay for the rest of your life wandering in the wilderness. You want to push on and go to the promised land. That promised land is the new life, the new plans that God has for you. You don't want to just add Jesus to your existing life. He gives you a whole new life. And if you're sensitive to what he's saying, he'll take you on the greatest adventure of your life. And God will be the most glorified and you'll be the greatest fulfilled if you walk in the plans that the Lord has for you. But walking in the plans of God will require you to have courage. It will require you to step out in faith. Because here's the thing, if you never do anything different, if you never take that step of faith, then guess what? You'll have the things that you always have had. You're not going to have anything new. But if you have the courage to step out in faith, God will meet you and he will bless that faith for you. And stepping in faith requires many times for you to step into an area that you never have been before. Maybe it's an area where you don't know all the people. Maybe it's an area where you don't have all the answers, where you're kind of uncomfortable. Maybe it's an area that you are not as financially secure as you once were. I worked as a mail carrier, as a mailman for 18 years, right? 18 years. Last month, I quit because God wanted me to go into ministry full time. So I took a step of faith, and trust me, you know, that steady paycheck meant a lot to me and my family, right? Those benefits meant a lot to me and my family. All that did, but God called me to take that step of faith. So by God's grace, we prayed about it and I took it. So taking a step of faith requires courage. Here's the thing. Every time that you step out in faith, before you can kind of get that solid footing, many times the enemy will launch his greatest attack. Every time that I get started in a new area of the vision of what God has called me to do, it's like I stir up a spiritual bee's nest. We have a men's recovery home over in Ambridge. Right now, for the most part, what we do is we serve as transitional housing for the Teen Challenge program. Anybody familiar with Teen Challenge in here? So the guys go to that program, and then they, after they're done, they come to our house. We have a building that, it was an old convent. We bought an old Catholic church, by the way. So we have a big complex, 5 buildings. One of the buildings is a convent. And so we use that as a men's recovery home currently. And when we first started on that, I tried to do it really undercover. Like we were remodeling in there and I knew that I was going to have a fight, but I wanted to fight it when I wanted to, right? So I didn't put out a bunch of stuff All that happened is the neighbors started seeing activity. They started seeing people remodeling. They started seeing carpets getting thrown out and old furniture getting thrown out and everything. And then they started coming around. What's going on here? What are you guys doing? You know, we're remodeling. We're cleaning up the building. You know, it's been a mess. What are you remodeling it for? Well, you know, we're remodeling it. You know, maybe we can use the building and put some people in there. Anyway, long story short, you know, the neighbors got into an uproar. I get a call from the mayor, from, they want to come down. I got to talk to their, you know, I got to talk to their safety council. And I sat down there and they all basically berated me because, you know, how can you bring these kind of people into our neighborhood? I said, have you opened your eyes and looked down the street? Where do you people live at? Have you guys ever been to Ambridge? Okay. I love it. It's where God called me to. And people say, you know what? There's a lot of problems down there. That's why God called us there. Amen? Right? A good soldier runs to the sound of the shots. So anyway, we're there. We're in it. So I'm arguing with them. Finally, I stopped. I said, listen. I said, here's the thing. God called me to do this. And if you guys don't understand the power of Jesus Christ to change a life, you're never going to understand what I'm doing. They made me go to a city council meeting where the whole place was packed out. It was like the neighbors may as well came with torches and pitchforks to get me in a big mob, right? They came down. The guy who was overseeing at that house, he was born in America, but his name was Robert Gomez. He was Hispanic. And, you know, so then it was like, okay, they're housing illegal aliens there. Then it was, you know, they're part of the Westboro Baptist Church, the one who picket soldiers' funerals and stuff. I said, by the way, those were Baptists, were Pentecostal. Amen. And anyway, so that, you know, that was a whole fight. Then they came and they tried to shut us down for code. Right? They went through, they told me that I had to evacuate the building because we didn't have 3 GFCI switches. I said, guess what? It's not happening. We're not vacating the building, so I don't know what to tell you. And the bottom line is that with all that drama, as soon as we started, basically what was going on is that Satan wanted to knock that ministry out because it was a frontline ministry. We were pushing directly into the kingdom of darkness, and Satan wanted to knock that out before we even got off the ground. An increase in demonic activity in your life can be a prophetic sign that the enemy has recognized the call of God on your life, and he's trying to destroy you before you get there, because he knows that when you do get there, you're going to do some damage to the kingdom of darkness. Do I need to repeat that one more time? An increase in demonic activity in your life can be a prophetic sign that the enemy is trying to destroy you before you get to your destiny, because he knows when you get there, you're going to do some damage to the kingdom of darkness. Some of you right now, within the sound of my voice, are in a battle right now. You feel that you're in a battle, but I'm here to tell you that the battle is not about your present. It's not about who you are today. It's about your future. The enemy is trying to frustrate you. He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to tempt you. And he's trying to get you to quit, because he wants you to quit moving forward with God's plans for your life, because he knows that there's going to be a place that you're going to get to where he's no longer going to be able to move you. Some of you guys maybe have given your life to the Lord just a short time ago, and all of a sudden it seemed like life started going crazy for you. Or you gave your life to the Lord and all of a sudden it seemed like everything just started falling apart and going crazy. And all you hear about from church people is how wonderful it is to serve God. And it is wonderful to serve God, but you giving your life to the Lord, and although obviously we all have to deal with the consequences of our sins, right? Jesus forgives us, but we still have to deal with the consequences of what we do. But But the fact is that you came to the Lord and everybody's saying what a great life it is. And all of a sudden, it's like everything's going crazy in your life. There's a simple explanation for that. When you were out there, when you were serving the devil, when you weren't serving God, he didn't need to attack you. But once you change and once your eyes were open and once you start serving Christ, all of a sudden the forces of darkness open their eyes and say, uh-oh, there's another one awake. There's another one that's about to do great things. There's another one that's about to shake up my kingdom. So we better go and attack them and frustrate them and get them to quit before they even get started. See, here's the thing. Maybe you're going through a battle this morning, but I have a word for you. And that word is that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against us, thou shalt condemn, because that is the heritage and the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And here's the thing. Instead of crying about what you're going through, instead of worrying about everything that you're going through, instead of looking at your circumstances and the things that happened to you, maybe you need to start praising God. Because if you have a large attack on your life, that's only because you have a great calling on your life. And instead of looking at what you're going through, why don't you look at where God is taking you to? You should start praising. Stop crying about it. Stop belly aching about it. Start moving forward with God's plan and say, devil, if you're attacking me like this, it's only because I know that God has great things ahead in my life. Maybe today you're experiencing an attack on your marriage. You know, the devil loves to attack people in their families, because if he can keep you so busy with a mess at home, he knows that you're going to have a hard time moving the ball forward in the kingdom of God. Maybe with your marriage you're having a difficult time, because the devil knows that if you and your spouse ever got into unity, if you ever stopped fighting over one another's differences and realize that God has given you complementary giftings that will work together, that will be better than any two of you together. If you ever figured out how to work together, then some things are going to begin to get shaken up, right? The Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. And so forces of darkness are pushing in your marriage, trying to get you to quit, trying to get you to give up. Heck, it might be your kids. Anybody got teenagers in here? We'll pray for you, especially after service. Amen. I got two now. They're just going into college. One's second year in college, one's first year into college. I know how it is. And I know what goes through as the kids are growing up. And, you know, some of you guys, probably your kids are going pretty wayward and you're pretty concerned about what's happening to them. Did you ever think that maybe that your children are destined for greatness? That your children are destined to do amazing things in the kingdom of God? And so the enemy wants to get them sidetracked before they kind of get into maturity. He wants to get them strung out. He wants to get them broken. He wants to get them serving the devil. But I tell you this morning that I've already served notice on the kingdom of darkness in Ambridge, and I'm serving notice on the kingdom of darkness here at Living Manna Foursquare Church, that devil, you can't have not one of our children, because in here we got some mothers and some grandmothers that know how to get into their secret place, and they know how to pray, and they know how to get into the Holy Ghost, and they know how to get on the ground, and they know how to pray until heaven comes down. And they know how to pray for their children. I'm here because my mother prayed for me. Amen? There's power. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your grandkids. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. They will come around. Amen? Now, who is your enemy? Your enemy is anyone who tries to stand in the middle of you and your destiny. Your true enemy is not people, but the devil will use people who, for one reason or another, let themselves be used. He will use people to hurt you. But if you're not careful, you'll start fighting against people. We don't war against flesh and blood. There's a spirit behind those people who are attacking you, and they're attacking you because you have a great calling on your life, and they're trying to knock you off base. But if you don't be careful, you can get so busy fighting against people, trying to, and you're not getting in your prayer closet and praying and getting down on your knees and fighting against the true enemy who is manipulating those people. We don't overcome evil with evil. We overcome evil with good. Amen? We war in the spirit, right? We war in the spirit. And many times those people who are fighting against you, who become your enemy, they don't even realize that they're serving Satan. They're just a tool that he's using, right? It's like Jesus said from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." They don't realize that they're being used by the enemy. The enemy can even use church people, right? I'll just leave that alone right now. Throughout the Bible, it gives us many examples of the principle that I'm trying to dig in and I'm trying to get you to understand today. So I'm just going to go through them, and I want to go through a couple different situations, and I'm just going to kind of give you a Cliff Notes version. If you want to write some stuff down and go through it later, that's fine with you, but I just want to show you a pattern that appears again and again and again in Scripture. When you see those patterns, then you know that that's a principle, right? When you see these patterns, that's a principle, and that's a principle that we can live our life by. Genesis chapter 37, right? That's where it begins telling the story of Joseph, right? Most of us who've been in church any time know the story about Joseph, and how Joseph had, you know, a dream, and how, you know, he had a dream that, in a nutshell, it was that his brothers and his family would be bowing down to him, that there was heads of grain that bowed down to him, that the sun, moon, and stars bowed down to him. And basically, you know, that was his destiny that God showed him. And he told his brothers, and it made his brothers very angry, and they decided, you know, who the heck are you, being the youngest brother, to try to act like God told you that we're going to be serving you? So what we're going to do is we're going to take you out and we're going to kill you, right? So they got out there, they were going to kill him, but then one of the brothers decided, like, hey, let's not kill him, let's just throw him in a pit and let's sell him for slavery. So they threw their brother in a pit, they sold him off for slavery, but because the hand of God was on his life, he ended up in a man called Potiphar's house, who was a very powerful Egyptian official, and God's hand was on him. See, you can't curse what God calls blessed, right? And if you're in Christ, you're blessed, and guess what? You can't be cursed. You can step out in sin, and that'll hurt you, but you're blessed, right? You're blessed, and if you stay in that position, the devil can't hurt you. So you can't curse what God calls blessed. So he rose up, and he was in charge of a Potiphar's house, in charge of all his goods. And you guys know the story. His wife kind of took a looking. She liked Joseph, right? She liked the way he looked, so she desired to be with him. She kept making passes at him. And finally, she kind of basically, like, tried to attack him, right? And he took off, right? And that's a good word for you men in here. Sometimes you just got to take off. You got to run, right? There's no shame in it. You got to go. You know, I got to get out of here. Boom, run from sin, right? So he ran, and basically she made this whole story up of how he tried to rape her and everything. So then he got thrown into prison. So he got thrown into prison. But again, you can't curse what God calls blessed. Amen. So you can't curse what God calls blessed. And Joseph was blessed. And basically he rose up in that, even in the prison. And then because God gave him the gifting of interpreting dreams, he ended up at the right hand of the Pharaoh, and he became second in charge of the most powerful nation of that day. Now, you can see that Joseph's calling in life was to save the Hebrew people from famine. He was to preserve the entire bloodline that Christ would come through, right? That was his calling. He knew it in his dream. And the devil used multiple people to fight against him. Used his brothers, used Potiphar's wife, right? Used some people in prison. People kept fighting against him. There was enemies in his path trying to keep him from the destiny that God had for him. But guess what? The enemy will fail and God will prevail. The enemy will fail and God will prevail. And even his own brothers that betrayed him, that he revealed himself to them after his father died, they basically said, okay, you know what? Joseph's going to kill us all now. But this is what he said. He said, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Anybody got some but gods in your life? I should have been strung out on drugs, but God set me free. I should be divorced right now, but God saved my marriage. My kids should not be in college right now. They should be out on the streets, but God saved their lives. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is to this day, to save many people. The enemy attacking Joseph over and over and over again at the calling he had on his life, trying to stop him, right? But the enemy's plans against Joseph failed and God prevailed. Let's look at Moses, Exodus chapter 1, right? The story of Moses. So Joseph died, the children of Israel were still in Egypt, and a new Pharaoh rose up who didn't know Joseph, but he saw that the Hebrew people were becoming stronger. They were blessed. They were a blessed people. He seen them. He said, you know what? These guys are becoming stronger. And so the new Pharaoh tried to destroy the people of God by giving them heavier burdens, right? To try to weaken them, to try to make them tired. In addition to that, he commanded all the midwives to kill every male child. Now, the Egyptian leadership at that time was not scared of a bunch of slaves. They were scared at what they saw the people becoming. For some of you people, there's people around you who are looking at your growth. And you might not really realize like where you're coming from because you live with yourself, you know, all the time. Every once in a while, I look back and I'm like, man, God's brought me a far way. You know, but sometimes we feel like we have so much farther to go because we're still really messed up that we forget how far, you know, God brought us. And a lot of times for you guys, there's people that are looking at your lives and they're looking at your life since you came to Christ and they see the change in your life and they see that you're getting stronger. They see that you're getting healthier physically and emotionally and spiritually. And they see that you're not going to the same places that you used to go and you're not doing the same things that you used to do. And you know, you're getting out of the box that everybody wants to put you in. You're breaking out of that box. And although you might not have much, they see what you are becoming. And because of that, they're coming against you. However, the Word of God says that the midwives did not follow the Pharaoh's commands. They did not kill the babies. And because of that, they were blessed. Amen. You're blessed if you don't kill the babies. Amen. And basically, Moses' mom hid him away so that he wouldn't be found out. And because of the favor of God on Moses' life and the calling that God had on his life, Pharaoh's own daughter found him and adopted him to be her own. The enemy tried to kill Moses while he was a baby. Not because he was scared of the baby. He tried to kill Moses when he was a baby because he knew that he would grow older and that he would become the deliverer of the people from slavery. And even though the Pharaoh resisted and fought against him, at a set time, the children of Israel walked out of Egypt, healthy, strong, led by the power of God, and carrying away the silver and gold of the Egyptians. The book of Isaiah, when it talks about the children of Israel and this period, it says that they went through the fire and they went through the flood, but God brought them out to a wealthy place. Some of you are going through the fire. Some of you have been through the flood, but you haven't yet stepped into the wealthy place. Well, read the entire verse, because you might be going through the fire and you might be going through the flood, but our God wants to bring you out to a wealthy place. The enemy's plans against Moses failed, and God prevailed. Let's skip ahead to Jesus. Just in case you're wondering, I'm not going to go through every book, right? I'm not going to go through every book of the Bible today. But when Jesus was born, the wise men came from the east, right? We go over this every Christmas. The wise men came from the east, and they told King Herod that the true king of the Jews had been born. And Herod tried to deceive the wise men and said, well, when you go and find him, tell me where he's at, because I want to worship too. But really, they realized that all he wanted to do is he wanted to kill the baby. He wanted to kill him. And the thing is that after that, after he realized that the wise men weren't going to come back to him, he ordered every child under the age of 2 to be killed. But an angel warned Joseph and Mary, and they escaped to Egypt. So once again, the enemy failed and God prevailed. Amen? See, they weren't scared of the baby lying in swaddling clothes in the manger. He was worried about the man who would grow and be called King of the Jews. And all throughout Scripture, we see time and time again, the common tactic of the enemy is trying to destroy a person, destroy a ministry, destroy a family before they can accomplish the things that God has for them. And most of the time when they're under attack, they don't fully understand what the calling of God is on their life. That's the hard thing. You know, you don't, walking with God is like, it's like a staircase going up to a cloud. And you just know that you're supposed to take that next step, but you don't know where the next step after that and the next step and the next step and the next step leads. So you're under attack and you don't even realize that you have a calling of God on your life. The battle is not about your present, it's for your future. What did we read in Jeremiah 29:11? What did we read in Ephesians 2:10? That God has a plan for you. He has a hope for you. He has a future for you. You're his workmanship, created to do good works in Christ Jesus. So he has something for you. If you call yourself a Christian, if you have Christ living inside of you, then he has plans for you. He has a plan for you. And the enemy will try to destroy you before those plans can ever come to fruition. But if you'll be strong, and if you won't quit, some of you are going to see the greatest miracles that you've ever seen break through in your life. Some of you are going to see relationships that are completely broken, that you never thought were fixable. You're going to see those relationships be restored. Some of you guys are about to go to a new level financially or professionally. Some of you are going to get used in ministries that you never thought you were capable of even being a part of, right? Some of your children are going to grow up and be so on fire for God, even though it doesn't seem like it right now. They're going to make the things that you have done look like child's play. But in order to cross from this place to the next place, you have to win the battle for your future. Man, my first year of ministry was really hard. And I'm not up here, you know, belly aching, but that's why I tell you to pray for your pastor, because most people don't really understand the pressure that comes on somebody who's in the ministry. You know, and I'm not talking about, you know, somebody who's in a dead church, somebody who's not really doing anything. You know, they're no threat to the kingdom of God either. But a ministry that's really believe in God and really stepping out in faith and really working with people and reaching out to the hurting and all that, man, there's a pressure that comes upon your life. And I'll tell you, you know, it was not only did I feel unequipped and unprepared, you know, there was that transition time where a lot of the people were like, okay, what is this guy doing? He doesn't know what he's doing. And they would have been right. I didn't know what I was doing, right? I kind of fake it till you make it. That's where I was at. I was kind of just stepping out, just trying to believe God, just trying to do stuff. But man, I had people, you know, coming against me. I had people, you know, that weren't happy with a lot of the things that I was doing. Then I had, basically, I had some financial pressure upon my life. We had adopted Trey, brought him into our family when he was 13. And, you know, I don't know how many of you guys have adopted, especially older kids. But, you know, it's awesome, you know, and I'm glad we did it. But at the time, it was a lot of change, you know, for our family. So there was a stirring, you know, in my family. On top of that, for some reason, I had a new boss and a guy just hated me. No matter what I did, no matter how hard I worked, no matter how hard I tried, this guy just didn't like me. After a while, I said, you know what, there's nothing I can do. I just got to go in and just do my job and just kind of ignore him. And so I had all these pressures just all coming on my life. It was like a perfect storm. And I can remember when it all hit me, I felt so overwhelmed. And I'm sure some of you guys have been there and kind of know what I'm talking about this morning. And all I remember is that, you know, I just remember getting in my car and I drove down by the Ohio River. Our house is right by some boat docks. And I drove down by these boat docks and all I could do is just sit on the side of that river and cry. And honestly, I'm not the crying type. I'm not, you know, but I was broken. I was overwhelmed, you know, and I had all these thoughts going forth in my mind. I was like, you know what? Maybe I wasn't called. You know, maybe this is too much for me. Maybe I'm not prepared to do this. Maybe I should just step down. Maybe I should just quit. But, you know, 2 weeks ago, we had Vacation Bible School at our church. You know, we've seen 38 kids give their lives to the Lord. You know, if I would have quit, that would have never happened. Do you know how many people have come through our men's home? Guys who didn't have a place to lay their head. Guys who didn't have a hope in the world. And they've given their life to Jesus. And they're going on to live healthy lives right now. If I would have quit, then men would have never got their chance. You know, and almost every week, somebody gives their heart to the Lord at New Hope Community Church. If I would have quit, what would have happened to my church? Right? When I took it over, it was struggling and there was financial issues. I don't know if the church could have, you know, taken another pastoral change. But man, I stuck it out and I believe God. And because of that, I'm beginning to see the fulfillment of the ministry and the vision that he planted in my head since the first day that I walked into that church in Ambridge when we first bought it, coming over from Moon Township. I'm seeing it go again and again. But man, in that first year, if I would have quit, I would have never seen any of it happen. But it was just a devil's way to distract me. And so I'm here to tell you that walking with God is the best life that you can live. I've been on both sides of the fence, but sometimes it's going to be tough. Sometimes it's going to be hard, but if you won't quit, you will experience such great victories in your life that you will forget about the struggles. You'll forget about the struggles. Listen, if I'm standing on top of one mountain, and I look up and I see a bigger mountain. And I say, you know what? I need to be on that bigger mountain. Right? I can't just jump from the mountain to the mountain. I got to walk down through the valley. And a lot of times when you walk down through that valley, that's when you're most vulnerable to attack. You're walking from one mountain to the next mountain. And you're down in that valley. And you're going to be tempted along the way to do something destructive that's going to destroy your ministry. You're going to wrestle with doubt. You're going to wrestle with fear. But here's the thing. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. We walk by faith, not by sight. And some of you just gotta get up. You gotta stop looking at everything that you're fighting against and everything that's coming against you. And you need to start praising God for the plan, the places that He's taking you to, because the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And let me tell you something. There's only one thing our God can't do, and that is fail. Our God will never fail. He never loses. He's never late, and He's never wrong. Amen? The enemy will fail, and God will prevail. Joseph went through the pit so he could get to the palace. Moses spent 40 years on the backside of a desert, wandering as a fugitive and a vagabond and a sheep herder before he became the mighty deliverer of Egypt. Job lost everything in his life, but at the end, he got back double of everything that he had. David got anointed as king, but spent the next 15, 20 years, however long it was a long period of time, running from King Saul, who was trying to kill him, living in caves and living out in the woods. But guess what? Eventually, he wore the crown and he took his place as the king of Israel. You'll go through some difficult times, but don't give up. Don't quit. God has mighty things for you. He has powerful things. And if you can just look forward and just believe God for a greater day, for a greater thing, for a better thing, then you're going to be able to walk through that trial with your head held high, saying, I am not going to let the devil defeat me. I'm not going to let him bring me down. I'm going to keep walking until I go on to glory with the plan that God has for my life. Jesus Christ, our Lord, was opposed by the devil himself, was opposed by religious authorities of that day, and he was opposed by the entire Roman government. And as he was up on that cross, they thought he was finished. They mocked him. They mocked him as he was up on that cross. But the Bible says that if the rulers of this age knew what was happening, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Because it was in that place of weakness, it was in that place of brokenness, it was in that place that looked like defeat, that's where sin lost its power. It was the place of the greatest triumph, even though by all looks of it, for the world, it looked like the place of greatest defeat. And he died on that cross, but that wasn't the end of the story. He was buried in a tomb, and on the third day, he rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he spent 40 days wandering on the earth, being shown in groups of small groups and large groups, and then he ascended to be on the right hand of God. And he sent the Holy Spirit down on the day of Pentecost and filled his church with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the thing is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you might be going through some difficult things right now, but the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. And because he is victorious, you will be victorious. You are overcomers in Christ. You are more than a conqueror. Amen? Do you know what a conqueror is? A conqueror is a man like maybe, you know, Alexander the Great, or, you know, a mighty warrior. Maybe it's even, you know, you could take like Mike Tyson in his prime, right? He's a conqueror. He goes out and he conquers people. That's a powerful position to be in. But the Bible says that we're more than a conqueror. It's as if, you know, you have the boxer and he's the conqueror, right? And so he goes out and he fights his fight. He knocks the man out. They get into a long fight, but eventually he wins. He's beat up. He's bruised. He had to train for it. He's broken. He's hurt. He's cut. He wins. He gets a check for $1 million, and then he turns around and gives it to his wife. He was a conqueror. She was more than a conqueror. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors. You know why? Because Christ was beaten. He was bruised. He fought the fight. He won the battle on that cross. And because of that, his victory is our victory. So we don't have to earn it. We don't have to fight for it. We just have to have our faith in it, and we just have to walk towards him, because we are more than conquerors. Listen, if you don't remember anything else that I preached about this morning, I want you to remember this. The enemy is going to fail, and God will prevail. The enemy's plans for your life are going to fail. God will prevail. God is going to build a mighty church here. I said last time I was here, I had a vision of a new church being built here. I see it in my mind just as clear as I did when I was in Ambridge and I seen the congregation, I seen the building renovated, I seen the men's home, I seen the schoolhouse, I seen it all being done. And you know what? Because I showed up each and every day, that's all, I just kept showing up. When it looked bad, I kept showing up. When things weren't good, I just kept showing up. When they were good, I just kept showing up. When we couldn't pay our bills, I just kept showing up. And guess what? God will prevail. God will prevail in your life. Amen? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed here today, I want you to just focus on the Lord. Some of you are in a battle. You're in a fight. We're all in different stages. We're all in different places. And you thought about quitting. And I hope that you'll take this word that I gave you and you'll mix it with faith. And that faith is the faith that overcomes the world. You can overcome. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is inside of you. God is for you, right? Jesus is with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Angels are all around you. What can the power of hell do to you? What problem do you have in your life that is too big for your God? Come on. Come on, what problem do you have that's too big for God? There's no problem you have in your life. It will break. This thing will break. The wall will come down. You will not stay here forever. You just need to depend on God. Depend on Him and Him alone, and you will have victory. If you're here today and you have a problem right now, you have a battle, and you're kind of like, you're in that place that the father of the boy who had an epileptic seizure and Jesus came down from the mountain and basically, you know, he said, can you heal my son? And Jesus said, all things are possible for you to believe. And the father said, well, I believe, but help my unbelief. You believe that God can do it, but you're struggling to truly grasp hold of it. If that's you today, I just want you to just step forward and we're going to pray and we're going to believe God today that some things are going to happen in your life. You have a struggle in your life and you want me to pray for you and you want to believe God with me. I'm just going to ask that you step right now, step to the front, step to the front for any struggle, any problem you have in your life. I don't know if you have any kind of music that you could maybe perhaps put in the background, but just put it on lightly. And if you're in the back, I'm just going to ask that you kind of join me in prayer right now, because we want to pray and we want to believe with our brothers and sisters right now. All of us have been in a battle. All of us have been in that place where we want to quit, where we want to give up, where it seems like the dreams that God put in our heart are being shattered, that they're not going to come, that it's not going to happen. And we want to agree. Amen. Amen.